I think the first moment I realized that I wasn't really living a free life while having all these other boxes checked was probably when I got to Amazon, to be honest. I had already been at Microsoft. I got to Amazon and I wanted to be able to go do the things that I now could afford to do. I felt like I could afford to, go on these vacations, or I could afford to, or I wanted to go snowboarding. I could see the mountains right there. And I think it really kind of clicked that the only time I had to do that was on the weekends, the same time everybody else in Seattle had the opportunity to go. And when you would go, you're surrounded by what felt like millions of people. You're having to pay for parking, even though you drove out in the middle of the woods. It just sucked all of the fun out of it. I wanted to be able to do something in the middle of the day. I wanted to be able to, go on a trip and not have to use all my PTO or have to stack up all the work, right? I still wanted to be able to do these things. And it just felt like I was kind of in a glass box where I could see all the things I wanted to do, but I didn't have the ability to go do them without a million other people doing it at the same time.
You weren't born to sit in traffic, work for approval, or wait for Fridays. You were built to be free. Welcome to Rich and Remote, the show for the ones who dare to do life differently. Here, we talk about building businesses that give you choices, where you work, how you live, and what you create. This is for the entrepreneurs who crave freedom, financial freedom, location freedom, and freedom from everyone else's expectations. If you're ready to design a life on your own terms, you're in the right place. Rich and Remote, hosted by Alex and Carla Booth.
All right, good morning and welcome to our maiden episode in Rich and Remote. I have my co-host, Alexander Booth.
Hello.
Also my husband, my life partner, business partner, partner in crime.
That's right. There, here I am.
So Alex and I are building this brand and media outfit together, and we thought it would be a great way to open this podcast with him telling his story. So yeah, I will introduce you based on what I know about you, and then we can go a little bit backwards and hear your story. So I met Alex in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. He's from Idaho. He's a very smart guy. He has a decade of experience working for really big names in corporate, Yellow Pages or YP, Microsoft, and Amazon. Amazon was his dream job. Living in Seattle was also kind of his dream life. But then he felt the tug to move to Mexico, where he met his wife, me, and he also started his first business. So, Alex, welcome. And how are you today?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I feel like you almost got everything right, but we'll correct it as we go. Yeah, looking forward to telling my story. I'm good. We're at the end of a work week and ready for the weekend, but this is something I've been looking forward to. So excited to get this off my chest.
Yeah, I'm also curious to maybe like find out a few things that maybe would still be a surprise to me, even though I've known you for years now. But let's talk about that life that you had in Amazon. On paper, you had everything. You had your six-figure Amazon job, Seattle condo, you had your mountain views. And I keep hearing about how beautiful Seattle is as a city. When did you first realize that what looked like success didn't actually feel like freedom?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Seattle is absolutely gorgeous. Plus, my favorite sport teams are there. We have amazing mountains. We got ocean. You can be surfing and snowboarding in the same weekend. So yeah, it's got a lot going on for it. However, I think the first moment I realized that I wasn't really living a free life while having all these other boxes checked was probably when I got to Amazon, to be honest. I'd already been at Microsoft. I got to Amazon and I wanted to be able to go do the things that I now could afford to do. I felt like I could afford to go on these vacations, or I wanted to go snowboarding. I could see the mountains right there. And I think it really kind of clicked that the only time I had to do that was on the weekends, the same time everybody else in Seattle had the opportunity to go. And when you would go, you're surrounded by what felt like millions of people. You're having to pay for parking, even though you drove out in the middle of the woods. It just sucked all of the fun out of it. I wanted to be able to do something in the middle of the day. I wanted to be able to go on a trip and not have to use all my PTO or have to stack up all the work, right? I still wanted to be able to do these things. And it just felt like I was kind of in a glass box where I could see all the things I wanted to do, but I didn't have the ability to go do them without a million other people doing it at the same time.
Yeah, that sounds really kind of like you feel like trapped. And I feel like it's almost more of a torture that you can see it and it's out there, but you can't do it. And there's so many things in the way. And sometimes it's a similar story as what a lot of people also say that when they started working remotely, they thought that it'd be more free, but they just feel like their whole day is filled with screens. So they wake up in the morning with their alarms on their phone. They scroll their phone for a bit. Maybe they put a little iPad thing on when they cook their breakfast, and then they go on to their laptops and work. And then after that, they relax and get some Netflix. So it's just like a parade of screens all day. Did you feel like something like that? Like, how was your health? How was like the other parts of your non-work life when you were living in Seattle? Maybe you can give us a little bit more visuals.
Yeah, mine, I felt like I was sitting. I felt like my whole life was revolving around sitting. I'd get up out of bed and then I'd go sit on a bus, right? And then I'd get to work to go sit at a desk. And then there is so much traffic, you couldn't go do anything. So I'm just sitting on a bus to go home to sit down and watch Netflix, right? And they're just like, how am I sitting so freaking much? If I wanted to go to the gym afterwards, I wanted to go walk around the park. Again, I'm doing it with a million other people. It
Yeah.
just felt like I couldn't go do anything where it was worth my time. So it just felt like I was going sitting from one place, sitting to the next place. My life was just revolving around that. And I think in terms of health, when you get trapped like that, you try to find some escape. So definitely started drinking more. Amazon actually has a culture of drinking. There's a lot of happy hours, a lot of things like that. So started drinking more, and yeah, I wasn't active. Now, this is a common thing for people in Seattle to complain about, but not getting enough sun. That may be the case, but if I was able to go outdoors more and go do things where I, felt encouraged to go do those when I, didn't have a million other people around me, I think I would have been in a lot better shape. I would have been a lot happier. But yeah, because of that situation, I kind of buried it with drinking and not eating great.
Yeah, so I guess when you were living in Seattle, it's good that we haven't met yet because I wouldn't see your sexy calves, which is basically the reason why I married you.
I still had those calves. I still did. Yeah.
In Seattle, I
Yeah,
thought
I
you were
did.
sitting all
I
the
still had them. I was born with them.
time. You were born with them. So, I want to dig a little deep into that feeling of like leaving a life behind. Was there kind of a moment of grief? Like, how did you process that realization when you're like, okay, I think it's time for me to go?
I mean, it was kind of drowned by a breakup, to be completely honest. So I was in a 4-year relationship and it ended while I was in Seattle and I wanted to just get the hell out of there. It was COVID time. I wanted to, go back around family. Funny enough, I'm from Idaho, so I crossed the border. Washington and Idaho are connected, and I show up and they're like, "What the hell is COVID?" They didn't even know, and like people were out doing things.
Wow.
Which was great. It was a great experience, but it was also kind of depressed because I was just got done with a 4-year relationship. I was sad. So I called a friend and that was down in Mexico, and she told me to come down. So I wouldn't say it was like a grief of leaving. It was like a necessary step for me to go feel better, to socialize, to go somewhere different, to get my mind off of it. Honestly, I wanted to go meet some girls and, have a little fun. Yeah, I wouldn't say that it was like a grieving moment for me to leave.
When I met you, you didn't look like you were grieving. You're grieving under bottles of tequila and parties.
Yeah,
A
a little bit, a little bit. Yeah.
little bit. But yeah, I think that, yeah, you made that move. I feel like it's still very brave. Moving to a different country, moving away from your family, away from everything that's familiar. I think obviously like Playa del Carmen, Mexico, it sounds very exciting. It's not a very bad place to move to, but of course you left what was like a stable corporate job. And
Yeah.
at a big company like Amazon as well, I bet a lot of people are just like dreaming to even like pass all of the way that you guys interview, the way you guys select people, the way you promote managers. You worked hard for what you had, and you had a thing going there. You had a leadership position. What do you think, in your opinion, most people get wrong about chasing security or the corporate version of security and safety versus like chasing happiness and what's good for you?
I think it's okay to chase security. I think it's okay to chase the corporate job, but know your limits. Don't get sucked into it. I got sucked into it. My intention was to join Amazon and Microsoft for credibility, and I did want to start my own business. I wanted to live in a ski town. I wanted to do something interesting with my life, and it just trapped me in there with the salary. And honestly, when you're kind of living a lifestyle that's unhealthy, you're just unmotivated to make a change. So in a reality, honestly, the breakup was a blessing for me. It, kind of unlocked a new life for me, the life I was supposed to be living. But I think in terms of the trap and like the mistakes that people make is they permanently tie themselves to the identity of that security, right? It gives them this safety blanket, which in reality is a good thing to have. You should be able to make bigger leaps and bigger risks with that safety blanket. But most people don't because they just get trapped in that lifestyle. And I was victim to it as well. It took an emotional disaster for me in order to get out of it, right? And
Right,
to
to
be honest,
shake you
when
up.
yeah, and to be honest, when I moved to Mexico, I brought that with me. I still worked at Amazon. I still did that stuff when I moved to Mexico. So it really wasn't until I realized that I couldn't go back to Seattle. I was never going back. They were trying to force me to go back, that I realized I wasn't going to. For one, I did fall in love with the lifestyle, but I also fell in love with a girl down here, and I wasn't going to give that up. So, yeah, all I'm saying is it took me a breakup, and it doesn't have to take other people a breakup to realize that's not the life that you want to live. And it's funny because a friend of mine was also working at Amazon. COVID happened and he was like, I'm out of Seattle. I'm just gone. And I was like, you are crazy. You're not telling your manager. Things could go back to work. But he just took the risk and did it. And I kind of followed in his footsteps a little bit. Like I looked at him, like if he can do it, I can do it. He still actually works at Amazon, but he's still done things at his own terms. He's dug his heels in. He said he's not going to certain areas. Maybe his role has changed, his department he works at has changed, but he knows what he wants in life, and it's pretty admirable what he's done without having to go through an emotional breakup in order to make that happen.
Yeah, sounds good. And I'm going to appeal to your inner Dr. Phil here for the people who are listening. What is your advice for like young men specifically who are working towards a good career, trying to make money, but also maybe have some challenges with their relationship? What advice can you give them?
Young men specifically, work first. Yeah, you are going to be so much more valuable in your 30s. Don't worry about the relationship. If it's there, it'll stay with you. Don't make your decisions based off of your relationship like I did. That was a horrible idea. It tied me down. If I would have just put work first, put my risk, I worked at Amazon and then on the side, I had time to focus on, building a side business, I'd be years and years ahead of where I am or developing a different skill. But because I wanted to, spend time, so much time with that significant other, and it just kind of like it motivated it like demotivated me. It kept me in that box of my work is at Amazon. That's it. That's where I exist. That's all I know and that's all I do. And it kind of put me behind. So for the young guys out there, do not get trapped into a relationship. If she is really the one, she'll understand that you're building and growing yourself. Work out, focus on developing a skill, focus on creating a side hustle. Do not make your identity these big corporate jobs. It's great to work at them, but feel free to leave anytime you want.
Wow, that sounds even like me listening to it. It sounds pretty scary even to like take that risk, even start that side hustle. And actually, I didn't even know that's how you truly felt actually until you shared right now that you felt that maybe a previous partner has been holding you back in what you really wanted. If you can go back to that time in the past, whether or not you had a relationship, whether or not it was good, just for the purpose of imagining and, for discussion purposes, what would be a side hustle that you would have started if all the stars lined up at that time?
Definitely e-commerce. I mean, I was at Amazon, so I don't know if they would have allowed me to. To be honest, I still would have done it. I would have done it off of my work computer, you
Shopify
know?
store.
Yeah, shit, I would have done it. Yeah. I always wanted to. Like, I had the idea of so many different awesome ideas, and then I'd see some other person do it and it worked, right? So that kind of bummed me out seeing all these ideas that I had. And because I instead decided to spend time, I don't know, trying to make a relationship work that wasn't going to work. and I could have been focusing it on one of those ideas I had going through failures, I would have had success. I would have definitely had success. Like one of them was, like taking a water bottle, but the nice ones, like the Yeti ones, the hydro flasks were kind of big when I was younger, and putting like a state on it, like the state of Idaho, and then selling
Right.
that, right? Just like personalizing water bottles, anything to just sell product. I think it would have been an e-commerce store for sure.
Every maybe 6 months, you always tell me, I think I want to start an e-com, I'm ready or something like that. But of course, life gets in the way. And I know that you're building your business right now and your first one, and it has experienced crazy growth just in the past like 10 months. What would you say are maybe the top three, some of the top three game changers that happened for you in your first foray into business and making that journey from being employed in corporate and starting your first business?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that happened, but I'd say the biggest movers were going to be surrounding myself around other entrepreneurs. That was huge. I tried to start a business when I was in Seattle and I was just around the same people that I was. They all would have told me I was going to fail or that I couldn't do something. Whereas when I've gotten to Playa del Carmen, and I'm around all these entrepreneurs, it makes everything seem so much more possible. So that was massive. So in
Yeah.
order to do that, I joined a few groups, like a few masterminds. Just started to be a lot more selective with who I spent my time with. And that actually segues perfectly into the next one, which be that networking is going to be referrals. Like I had to do a lot of good things for other people. I
Yeah.
had to do a lot of that so I can earn their trust, get them to be referrals for me. I built an affiliate network, essentially. I think that was absolutely huge. And then I think number three would be, I'm going to do four. Number three, it would be health. Like I had to start taking a lot more personal accountability for my health, my wellness. So I had to start working out, taking things more seriously. Like I couldn't be hungover and get shit done. I just can't do it. It doesn't work that way. And then I think number four, I had to like keep my offer somewhat open. So I knew I wanted to be in customer success, but I tried to do a few things and they maybe someone wanted it at like one point, but I sucked at doing it. And it just kind of snowballed into like, what was I actually good at and what do people actually want? And that is when I figured out what the hell I'm doing. And I just doubled down on that.
Right. I think that I love your point about the malleability of your offer and how you should always keep your ears and eyes open to what the market responds to. Because I think a lot of entrepreneurs, they have this some sort of a Dunning-Kruger effect, right? Where like, I know what the market wants. I know what I should do. I know what people will pay for. And honestly, even if you've done all the research on Reddit and Quora and Facebook groups and everything, it's still very different when you actually deploy it in your market because there's other nuances, there's other factors. I really, really love that point. I also love that point about finding people that, first of all, have great energy, want you to succeed. They've been through it before. Like me personally, I've watched all of the behind the scenes of you building your business, and I get it. I totally get it. I get all the long nights. I get the anxiety. I get the feeling of what if I can't make payroll? Like you've experienced all of that almost like a whirlwind, and you're in a very good spot right now in your business. What are some of the things that you wish you knew sooner when you started your business?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There's a lot. I think number one is that you're gonna have to spend money. I don't know why that was such a hard thing for me to get over, but maybe because all the tools, all the things that I had at my previous employments, someone else is buying those. I had no clue how expensive stuff was. So it's gonna be scary. You have to cut the checks, you have to pay for it. That's what going all in means. So yeah, I think you're just realizing that, building something ain't free. You can get by with, some free options, some cheap stuff, but eventually you are gonna have to pay for something, even if it's as small as I was surprised I had to pay for Google, for
For
example. I
an
had to pay
email.
for Google. Yeah, what the hell? I didn't know about that. But really, like there's a lot of expenses that are gonna come and don't be afraid of it. You need to do it. That isn't, I'm not saying go buy stuff, but don't be like stupid and jump right into purchasing everything, but Don't be surprised when you get faced with an unexpected expense. Be prepared for that. And, it helped that I had a credit card ready for it,
Some savings.
Yeah, I had some savings, but I also had a wife that was expensive. So a lot of those savings were getting focused elsewhere.
Okay, we're gonna bleep that out. No, I'm just kidding.
Then another thing that I had a tough time learning was the amount of time I was going to have to spend on the business, which is so stupid to even hear me say out loud. But I thought maybe I could do the 4-hour work week like right away. And wow, was that wrong? For like the first year, I was probably terrifying Carla because I had 1 foot in, not even 1 foot, probably like one toe in the business. And Carla was looking at me like, are you gonna freaking do this thing or not? And she was on my ass because she's built a business, she's built multiple businesses, and I'm thinking, oh, this shit's just gonna come to me. I'm gonna do a few things every week and it's just all gonna work. But that's not how it works. You have to spend the time. Eventually you do get your time back, you get a team making money for you, get a process working, your money's out there making money, and you do get time back. But you also have to figure out like how big do you want to grow this thing. Once you get to that point of where you can actually get some time back, do you pull off and chill out for a little bit and just coast, or do you keep your ass grinding so you can get this thing bigger and bigger? I personally have a lot of responsibilities I've recently gained. I have a wife, I have with huge goals for us. I have a family I'm building right now. So there's a lot more that I need to accomplish. And because of that, I have taken on, a lot more grind time than I thought I was gonna. And I now don't see myself stopping. I want this thing to get absolutely huge. I want my wife to never work again. All these things are true. So time is probably a huge thing I didn't realize I was gonna have to do, but the rewards are great, right? Like we're going across the world if, all the time. People think that we don't work, probably if they're looking at Instagram. Carla and I were just complaining today, like, those small moments that we maybe put on social media, those are so nice. But the reality is like I'm locked in a room just grinding my ass off all the time. I think that was a big one. But it's all worth it because I'm creating the life that I want. I'm living life on my own terms. I'm doing what I want to do. If I want to go golfing, I go golfing. If I want to go snowboarding, I go snowboarding. I get to go decide those things. And if I wanted to take my foot off the gas, I could do it. But right now, I don't want to.
Honestly, it's so wonderful seeing you this way. Like that time that you shared when you were feeling 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I want to dive into that feeling a little bit because a lot of people that might be starting their own businesses, they might not expect to feel that way. What did you think was happening in your head when you were, looking back? What do you think was happening in your head? Why were you just kind of 1 foot in and 1 foot out?
To be honest, I think I was a little mortified that I left my safety net, right? And there was a little bit of disbelief that I could do it, which is so uncommon. Like I've always known if I'm set my mind to something, I'm gonna do it. But I think it was a little mixture of self-doubt and a little bit of laziness and a little bit of fear, right? That just kind of was a nice cocktail that I was sipping every night. And maybe a little bit of entitlement. Like I felt like I was gonna get it no matter what, right? And I didn't need to do it as hard as maybe other people had. So that was a stupid mistake. That really kind of caused a lot of stress in our relationship. On top of that, though, Carla, I think I just needed a break. I grinded my ass off at Amazon, relationship stuff. And it all ended up blowing up in my face, right? And I felt like I deserved a little time off, but that still doesn't give me the excuse of like why I felt like I could barely do anything and still grow a business.
Yeah, those are very real feelings, honestly. Like, I think that part that you shared was the teeny, teeny grieving part. And also, you're scared of the future. You're like, you don't know what's going to happen. And I even remember we had some conversations where you were like, I'm really considering this job that's offered by me by another big company that they're offering me like 300K or, 300K a year salary or something like that. And there were some considerations that we were talking about because it was our future. And I'm very happy that you didn't do that. Of course, I'm very happy that you made it work. To be honest, not a lot of people might be able to do it. And the statistics of businesses failing and closing after what, 1 or 3 years is very high. Like, what is it? 85%, right?
Yeah.
And much higher if it's your first business.
Yeah.
So definitely very also like lucky, and also you worked very hard, you made all the right decisions, you took all the risks. So I think the other thing that I also picked up there as a lesson is whatever you're doing in life, whether that's a side hustle, you're freelancing, or whatever, even if you're doing OnlyFans, even if you're doing a job,
Don't
say,
do
yeah, don't do
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans, but save and invest. I think that's really it. Because sometimes, you know, things like COVID can hit you, or things like a big breakup, or you have to move to another place or something. Like some of these uncertainties in life can happen. There's like huge layoffs happening all the time right now. So your savings and your investments definitely help you a little bit making that transition.
Yeah, and I actually think that's a really good point to also make. Like, if you're gonna make those big risks, which is required to be an entrepreneur, it's required to build the life that you want, you are better off with a safety net. You are better off knowing that you have a little bit of a cushion if, you need to make things happen. So, yeah, in order to really go for it sometimes, like either you have that cushy job and you're doing it in that spare time and you don't spend your time, chasing girls or the wrong girl in my case, right? You either have that or you have that cushion that you've created and you have the go for it moment. I had to burn the lifeboat, as people say, right? Like, I had to get myself to actually put in all the time. Like, that full year of me kind of pondering around, like putting one foot in the business, I got to the point where my savings started to really dwindle down. I was no longer secure, and that shit worked. It got me in fight or flight. I am not going to be a failure. I am not going to lose. I'm going to get everything I want. And that is when the fire just ignited in me. And I wasn't gonna let you down, Carla. I wasn't gonna not give you everything you wanted. And yeah, so like that was, some people need that, and I needed a little bit of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's like the spiritual version of pouring cold water over your head or
Yeah.
something. Something like that. Every entrepreneur has those moments. I had those moments too. I was talking to one of our mentees today, Neil, in our RRGG mastermind. Alex and I actually have once a year, we welcome 3 to 5 outsourcing company owners and online business owners, service-based business owners, and help them grow their business. We talk to them one-on-one very, very closely. And this is a 6-month mentorship. Anyway, one of our students is Neil, and he was just talking to me. He's in a 5-star resort right now. And it's funny because I feel like we manifested this into being. And he was just telling me how grateful he was of our mentorship. And he was also saying, wow, I can't believe I'm here. When in the past, I used to literally run out of money to get groceries for my family. And
Yeah.
I told him this story of how I begged my. I had a client before what that I was doing SEO work for, like articles, writing articles, and that person was paying me, I think, $2 per article, and I had literally no money, and I begged her to give me a cash advance of $8 just for me
Wow.
to make it through the next day. And you know, she really felt bad for me, so she gave me $8, and in the Philippines that could like feed me for 2 days. At that time, this was like 2009. And you know what I did, guys? Don't follow what I did. I gambled that money. So I gambled,
No.
I know, I gambled that money. I won, and I
Don't
won the
listen to
first
this.
hand. I won the first hand, and I immediately left because I know that, you know, there's nothing there afterwards. So I was able to stretch that money for like 3 days, just feeding myself, obviously, like shit food for 3 days. But I remember that moment, you know, and that was my moment of like, this is not gonna happen again. This is fucked up. I will not allow myself to be this down again, where I'm obviously making these bad decisions and I'm begging someone for $8. Like I was in a very low moment, and that was my moment of a spiritual, you know, cold water over my head.
Well, I feel like I've actually kind of like been like, maybe people could take this as like I'm shitting on corporate, right? That's not the case. I don't think that corporate is necessarily bad. Like, at the time, I wanted to get there, right? So I had to do things in order to get that life. That was the life that I wanted to have. In order to get there, I had to be the first person in my family to go to college. I had to literally eat ramen every freaking day. I had to take side jobs. I had to do all these different things. There's no one gonna save you. No one's gonna come do
Right?
it for you. You
Right.
have to get your ass up and go do it. You have to do what it takes in order to get there. Obviously, what I want to change, I put myself into a situation where I wasn't living a free life. I wasn't living what we call remote and rich, you know? And I think the same principles apply. Like if I was a single guy who didn't have that cushion coming from corporate world and that gear to fuck around, right? And try to figure out what he's doing in a business. I would have done the same damn thing that I did trying to get to the corporate world. I would have ate ramen. I would have moved to a tiny ass place. I would
Yeah.
focus on what I needed to focus on. So I think discipline is super key.
Discipline. Yeah, I love that. Discipline is a love letter to yourself. I think discipline is showing yourself that you're worth it, that you're worth showing up for. That's what I really think about discipline. My days are very disciplined. Almost every day I go to the gym. I have like my sleep measured. Alex knows this. Sometimes it annoys him. I tell him that after 6 p.m., don't ask me work questions because then my brain is going to wake up again and I won't be able. So I have these like rules. I have these like boundaries around my life, but I do feel very rich. I do feel wonderfully remote enough. So of course, Alex and I like came into this life together. We were so lucky to find each other at the right time when we were like, we know what we want, and I'm so happy that you're here with me and you're in this journey with me. So for you, Alex, you travel quite a lot. I think between you and I, we average 40 flights a year, which is insane to
More,
think about. Probably
more,
more. Yeah,
yeah.
more. I counted our flights last year. I think we had 50
Yeah,
flight
yeah.
last year. But anyway, so we travel, we live in a beautiful 3-bedroom penthouse out overlooking the ocean with our private pool, thanks to you. And of course, we live a pretty good life. We live a comfortable life. We work whenever we want and we can take breaks. What does the rich and remote life like mean to you? And what are you working towards right now?
I think I'll start with the remote. What remote means to me is that I am not confined to going to that same place every day
Yeah.
because I have to. I can work any place I want to. I choose to work from my office in my room, but if I want to go to a coffee shop, if I want to go back home to Idaho, if I want to go see your family in the Philippines, I can carry my business wherever the hell I want, and that's going to be fine, right? I work where I want on my own terms, and that is incredibly liberating. That is exactly everything I've ever wanted. I feel like victorious because I have that ability. The rich part, I feel like people can take that the wrong way because it means so many different things. Like, honestly, because I have that remote part, my life feels rich. I can spend time with friends and family. I get to work on what I want to, right?
Yeah.
That is so rich to me. And
Yeah.
also, I'm building our financial freedom for our family. We can give our kids what we never had. I know you and I both never had a lot of the things other people
I
had.
know. I
And
know.
it's so important to me to be able to do that. Completely honest, there is the rich part too. Like, I want to have money in order to buy nice things.
Right.
I was looking at cars that I want to buy you when we get to, you know, Idaho, and like just little things that I can be able to do because
Yeah.
I built something my own. So, like, that's really what it means to me. And I think at the end of the day, it's like it means freedom.
I think that, to be a little bit philosophical here, I think that one truly becomes successful in life if they have freedom. I think that the more freedom you have, the more success you have, because I think the freedom leads to peace, leads to like self-determination. It's more than just self-preservation. You become more sovereign. Options give you power. So I think like it thrives into like one another. It feeds into one another. And a lot of the things, obviously we live in a material world. A lot of these things, even though they sound very abstract, they could be bought by money and they could be supported by financial independence. And so I'm right there with you in the definition of rich and remote. And if I want to add to that, for me, growing up as a woman and growing up in a Catholic country, Catholic schools, and with Asian culture, I want like freedom from people's expectations. I want to literally do whatever I want. I want to not censor myself. This is why I never had a job. It's like I sincerely believe I am unemployable. Like when I was joking with you when you were working for Amazon, I'd be like, what if I apply at Amazon? What level would I be at? And you're like, you're not gonna last a month.
Well, that's a good point. Like, I couldn't share my viewpoints working for a big company, someone could just take it the wrong way and fire me for any reason at all. And I never have to hold back on any of that stuff. Now I get to be wherever the hell I want to be.
Wow. So, okay, this is a really great episode. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Alex. And I learn a lot of things still. Every day is a new day.
Excited for some of the guests that we have coming up too. We have some really big names, and I'm just excited to hear what other people's definition of, rich and remote means and dive into this topic. Like, it is something that I feel like is so prevalent in today's world is, ever since COVID, people want to be remote. They want that freedom. They got a taste of it, right? And it's so excited to hear what it means to everybody else.
Absolutely. Let's keep it going, guys. So if you are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening, you can put a comment and tell us what does the rich and remote life mean to you. And I also want you guys to visit our website, richandremote.com. Sign up for our newsletter. We will be sharing a lot of resources on our rich and remote life. We'll be talking about remote work friendly stays, Airbnbs, hotels, digital nomad cities that Alex and I absolutely love. What's on the top of our list? We are not gurus by any means, but we are taking you on this journey with us. We are enthusiasts of the rich and remote life. Thanks for listening to Rich and Remote, where freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision. This is Carla.
This is Alex Booth.
And this is our journey to our dream rich and remote life.
If this episode inspired you, share with a friend who's ready to live life differently too. This is perfect for entrepreneurs who crave financial freedom, location freedom, and freedom from the opinions of others.
And don't forget to leave a quick review. It helps more freedom seekers find this show. Big thanks to our sponsors, Huckleberry Consulting, GetCSM, and Proximity Outsourcing.
See you in the next episode, and check out our online hangout spot, richandremote.com.